friends who brought one of their friends who was paralyzed to Jesus for healing. And so I want to read that along with you. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Mark chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 12, or you can just watch the screen, and we have the words up there. But this is the word of God to us this morning, Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. What did the man of the house think of that? Oh, I can't imagine. But when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, take up your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." I would ask that God would add a blessing to the reading of his most precious word to us this morning. I have three challenges for us, this morning as we continue to reflect on the story of Easter, and as we look at it through the eyes of this story in the healing of the paralytic. So the first challenge, if you like to write things down, this is where you get your pencil out, and you'd write this down. Number one, admit your need for forgiveness. Admit your need for forgiveness. At the heart of the Easter message is the reality of our need to be forgiven. Somewhere along the way, every single one of us have either done something, said something that we knew was wrong. We knew it was wrong either because our parents told us, or we knew it was because God's word had said, "That's not what you should be doing." And it's usually something we don't talk about. We don't walk around and say, "Hey, let me share my latest sin with you. I'd like to tell you about what I'm doing lately." It's stuff that we're quiet about. We don't want to admit it, but we know it's true. We've all done something wrong. And we come to Easter, and it's an annual reminder of our need to admit that we are in need of forgiveness. The scriptures are very, very clear about this. In fact, it says that we are, and this is one of those words, people don't like to hear it, but the scripture says that we are sinners. Uh-oh, great. There goes the whole Sunday morning. He called me a sinner. Well, that's what we are. That's what the scripture tells us. I want you to think about the story of the paralytic that we just read about. The guy's friends just wanted their friend to be healed, and they knew that Jesus had the ability to do that. Doesn't tell us how they knew that, but we knew that they knew that he would be able to do that. The text doesn't say anything to us about the paralytic's desire to be healed. We would have to assume, though, that he wanted to be healed as well. Probably had no idea that they're going to lower him through the roof, but that was a ride that he'll probably never forget. So, how does Jesus respond after the men lower their friends down there? How does he respond? He says this, "Your sins are forgiven." He doesn't say, "You're healed." He says, "Your sins are forgiven." And what Jesus really wants to say to him is, you think that your greatest need is a physical need. You can't walk and you want me to heal you. But Jesus said, "I'm here to tell you that your greatest need is spiritual. You are a sinner in need of my Father's love and his forgiveness." And there's no doubt that there are many of us who are very much like that paralytic. We come to Jesus with all the issues that we have in our lives. We come to him sometimes with physical things that we need healing for. We come to him and say, "I'm going under financially. It's been really tough in this economy." We come to him when our business is not doing well, or our job is failing, or we're struggling in school, or we've just lost a loved one. We're lonely. We're looking for a spouse. We're looking for a new spouse. All the different things that are in there. And just as Jesus responded to the paralytic, he says to you and me, and he says, "You think that your greatest need is whatever the issue you have is. You think your greatest need is physical, But I came and died on the cross and resurrected again to tell you that your greatest need is spiritual. That you are a sinner in need of my Father's love, in need of His forgiveness. And of course, He says, I hear your cry for help. I know your pain. I know your difficulty. I know your struggle in your marriage. I know how hard it is raising your children. I know all of those things. And I have compassion. I have mercy for you. But I know that your deepest need is a spiritual need. I can help you in those other areas. But the biggest thing you need to respond to is the spiritual. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, God made Him, talking about Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. That's why Jesus came. Go back to the very beginning of His life when He was born in Matthew 1:21. It says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give Him the name Jesus, and it tells us why. Because He will save His people from their sins. Every one of us are sinners in need of His forgiveness. If I ask for a show of hands of those this morning who thought they were perfect, and some of you raise your hands, we have ushers waiting to bring you out because you are not welcome here. This is a place for sinners to know that they can be safe. The truth for all of us to face is that we need forgiveness, every one of us. And Jesus' resurrection is what provides it for us. All right, a second challenge, number two, is to affirm Jesus' authority to forgive your sins. You admit your need for forgiveness. Secondly, we need to affirm His authority to forgive our sins. Jesus knew that the day He stood in that house with all the people gathered around Him, all the religious leaders, as they were looking at Him, He knew He was signing His death certificate when He said to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven. He knew that was going to create some problems. And immediately, what is He accused of? He's accused of being a blasphemer. And in the Old Testament, not really good news for the blasphemer. The blasphemer is to be killed. The Scriptures clearly teach that only God can forgive sin. But Jesus stood in that house with the paralytic at His feet, and He looked ahead. He looked ahead to what He was going to face on the cross, knowing that He was going to be killed, knowing that He would defeat death, and that He would rise from the dead, and He would prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that He had the authority to forgive His sin, not only His sin, but our sin. And when Christ raised from the dead, it was God's declaration of approval on His Son and the work on the cross. It was like Him thumbs up to His Son. He was saying, I accept you and I accept the sacrifice that you made on behalf of all the people that I made in my image who I so dearly want to be in relationship with. In Philippians 2:8, it says that Christ humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's the crucifixion. That's exactly what He did for us. And then in verse 9, it says, therefore God exalted Him to the highest place. He lifted Him up and He gave Him the name that is above every name. That's what the resurrection is. There is no penalty left to pay for sin. No more wrath of God to be bore. It was all on Him. Been completely paid for. No guilt remained from the sins that we've committed. And in the resurrection, Christ, God was saying to Christ, I approve of what you've done, and you have the ability to forgive the sins of anyone who will freely admit that you have the authority to forgive and believe that He is the Son of God. Had Jesus died and not been raised from the dead, that would have indicated that the work on the cross that He did was not acceptable to God. And therefore, His declaration to the paralytic for forgiveness was an awfully mean and cruel joke. It would have been terrible. This is how Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, and this is the resurrection chapter. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Can you imagine? Go back in that day, all of a sudden, what was going through the minds of the people that heard the words that Jesus had just been crucified? They had heard His promises. They had heard His proclamation to be able to forgive sins. Was it just a hoax? Was it just a big lie? Was it a guy who could do some really awesome, miraculous miracles, but very crazy because he claimed to offer forgiveness to anyone who would ask for it? You think about that paralytic. What must have been going through his mind as he heard about, or maybe he stood at the cross and he saw Jesus hanging there. This guy had not only healed me, but he told me that my sins were forgiven. I not only walked away that day on my own 2 feet, released from that cot, but I walked away with a sense of forgiveness that all that stuff that I've done was forgiven. There was something that was so powerful about that. And we don't know, the rest of the story isn't told. We don't know how it affected the man's life, but it wasn't something that he easily forgot, I'm sure. The paralytic knew that he was not perfect the day that his friends lowered him before Jesus. And I'm sure he would say he had not lived perfectly since that time. But he must be thinking, now he's dead. Your sins are forgiven. Was that just a cruel joke? Was I really forgiven, or do I still have to carry the guilt and the shame for all that stuff that I knew I was guilty of? And for those 3 days, he must have been very, very confused until Sunday morning. Sunday morning, he hears this rumbling, and all these people are talking. And he doesn't tell us this, so it's in between the lines of the scripture, but he had to probably run to the people that were talking, and this is the report that he heard. Mark 16, verse 5. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Can I see afraid face? The kids did a great job with that. They were afraid. That very moment, that paralytic knew that Jesus had the authority to forgive him of his sins. Our challenge, my challenge for all of us, is to join with that paralytic and affirm Christ's authority to forgive you, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've not done. He loves you so, so very much. The cross showed that. His resurrection proved that he loved us and that he had the authority to forgive. Admit your need for forgiveness. Affirm Jesus' authority to forgive you. And this last thing is only a choice that you can make. Accept his pardon. Accept his pardon. God's purpose and God's plan, his desire for every one of us here this morning is to walk out of this room on Easter morning knowing that we can be forgiven, that we can be pardoned. Romans 4:25 is a great summary of the whole Easter story. Romans 4:25, this is the New Living Translation, said he was handed over to die because of our sins, and secondly, he was raised to life to make us right with God. Somebody wants to know the Easter story? Give him that verse. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. The first half tells us that Jesus died. Why? Because we are sinners. And that's why we need to admit that we need forgiveness. The second part of the verse says that because of the resurrection, Jesus has the authority to proclaim us no longer guilty. That's what the second point is, that we can receive. He has authority. Point number three here is through faith in Christ, we can be made right with God. We can be pardoned for our sins. I wonder if the paralytic ever thought of the parallels between the cross and the cot that were both now empty on this first Christmas, or Christmas. There you go. Stand up here in front of people. Easter morning, on Easter morning. Two key stories, though. I just want to bring them together. On that first Easter morning, at one time, that cot was a physical reminder that he was held down by his broken body. There was nothing he could do for himself. The cross really was no different for Jesus. It held his broken body there. And it was why he was held there, because of our sins, not because of his sins. But just as death could not hold Jesus on in the grave, the paralytic was also released, not only from his physical bondage, but from the bondage of his sin. And I can only imagine when, as he heard the report of the angel who proclaimed from the grave that day, "He has risen." When he heard those words, that those words spoke 3 years earlier, "Your sins are forgiven," now had brand new, full meaning to him. He entered that house that day thinking that his greatest need was physical. But now, because the cross was empty, he fully understood that his greatest need was spiritual, and he needed forgiveness, and it was now his because of his faith in the resurrected Christ. Paul writes it this way in Romans 3. Yet God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. And he did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus was sacrificed, that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. The sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. Just think about this. The guilt of things that we've done or not done, wiped clean. The shame of deeds and actions, forever erased. The debt that we've accumulated in our lives from ignoring God and telling God, I really don't want you to be in my life. I can run my life perfectly well. I need you to leave me alone. Paid for by Jesus. And the reason he healed the paralytic and the reason he resurrected from the dead is to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that he loves us and he knows that we're sinners and he wants us to have the forgiveness that only he can offer. And just as the man who once lay in that cot experienced forgiveness because the cross is empty, that's something every one of us can experience. Some have probably walked in the church this morning or have thought about it throughout the week, feeling very paralyzed. Not physically, but paralyzed all the same. And you look and you think of your life, you think of those things, could be hurts and habits and hang-ups and bad choices and bad behaviors and some of the things just horrific. And if other people knew, they had their claws so deep in you, think there's no hope for me ever. But this morning, this Easter morning, the message of the empty cross is a message of hope that anyone can be forgiven. The message given to the paralytic is for you and it's for me. And the message is this: if you will acknowledge your need for forgiveness, and if you would believe Christ has the authority to forgive you of your sins, and if you receive him into your life, he will freely pardon you, restoring you into the right relationship that God desired from the very, very beginning. Jesus would say, pick up your mat and walk. Your greatest need is your spiritual healing, and I want to give that to you if you'll just accept it. It doesn't matter what you've done or not done. The message of Easter is that you can be forgiven. So what can we do this Easter morning as we walk out of here and go to be with family and friends and the week comes on and keeps going? I think, number one, I think we need to thank him for the gift that he purchased for you and for me on the cross, for the great sacrifice he made. Secondly, I believe we can accept the gift that he offers to you this Easter, forgiveness for your sins. And if you've never asked Jesus to do that, simply acknowledge it. Jesus, Wendell's right. I am a sinner, just like he is, just like everyone else. Please forgive me. Please come into my heart. Please set me free. And then, I think thirdly, we can commit to investigating the truth of the Easter story for the rest of the year. Don't make this an Easter Sunday morning event. Make this something that motivates you throughout the rest of this year. As we close, I want to pray an Easter prayer, and the worship team is going to come forward. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm going to ask you to pray it along. Pray along with me. You can pray. You don't have to say it out loud. He already knows every thought in your mind right now. But if you want to just pray this prayer, I would just ask you to follow along with me. You can say, dear God, I want the rest of my life to be the best of my life. I want to make my life count. I want to get to know you, and I want to know your purpose for my life so that I might live it out fully. I want to follow your plan. I don't want to follow mine. So the first thing I do is I admit that I'm a sinner. Would you please forgive me for going my own way and doing my own thing? I want to get to know you and your son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, I don't understand it all, but I thank you for dying for me, and I realize I need you in my life. So at this very moment, I receive you as my Savior and the leader of my life. Please help me to understand it more, and from this day forward, I want to follow you as best as I know how. Please come into my life and help me to become the person you mean me to be. In your name I pray. Amen. Would you join with the worship team?
Please rise.